Welcome to the Sunday evening services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, May the 12th, 1985. God bless as we worship together in this service tonight.
Singing already, and we look forward to the preaching tonight, Lord, that you would use your messenger, Lord, and speak through him that we might be drawn to thee, Lord. We just thank you for this offering that as it's given, Lord, it would be given freely and that it might be used, Lord, that it, in your will, Lord, and that someone would come to know you through this offering tonight, Lord.
Amen.
We just thank you for this service. We just thank you for each one here, and we just pray that you would be with us and give us a blessing for being in our house tonight, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. We're glad to have a guitar duet tonight for the offertory. Next one, we're going to have a trio, I hope. I hope Craig can help them the next time, maybe next Sunday morning, or at least a week maybe from now, or 2 weeks. We're going to call on the Gardeners at this time to sing for us. And James, would you come up and lead us in prayer before? Would you come up and lead us in prayer? The tape to the homebound this week is going to have a double shot, both sides. And that's the reason I want James to come up and lead us in prayer tonight. God bless you.
I apologize tonight for looking like a tramp. We wasn't really coming to church, we didn't think, but anyway, we're grateful to be here. We're glad that God has given us a home church that we can look forward to coming back and seeing our people. If you will, join me as we go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege that we have of coming back and seeing these dear people.
Amen.
And Father, we realize and know that from time to time as we travel and as we go, our hearts are back here with our people as we have known and loved for these many years. We pray for the church. We pray for Brother Hamlin, his wife, and his family. We pray that as we continue this fellowship and as we continue our love for one another, that our lives will be enriched. Bless, lead, and guide us. We'll give thee the honor and the glory, for we ask it in God's Son's name, and amen.
Amen. We invite you all back for our homecoming. I believe you all have moved back to Briz, right? They've been living out in... James is a long-distance driver for a big rig. I don't know how many wheels it's got on it. Too many, huh? Gardeners, you come and sing for us, and after this we'll have a message.
Some of these songs sound a little repetitious to some of you. I just turn us off and go let James and his crew. They haven't heard us for a while. Maybe they haven't heard it.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, "Oh Lord, don't hide your face from me."
Every hour, every day, from here to the grave.
I'd sing another year.
You're invited to a wedding that will be held soon. We are the bride, Christ is the groom, with the crown to wear and the long white robe. We'll walk down the aisle made of pure gold.
Why is your answer? How will you respond? The groom is asking the bride to come, and the supper will be in heaven, a new home above. Here's a wedding invitation, he said he would come.
Now if Daniel can come from a lion's den, if fire can't touch three Hebrew children, if Lazarus can make it out of the grave, you and I can go by way of saved.
What is your answer? How will you respond? The groom is asking the bride to come, and the supper will be in heaven, our new home above. Here's a wedding invitation, he said he would come. What is your answer? How will
months ago, and I made a comment at that time about how I thought he'd help us, and I got turned down the wrong direction, I thought, so I'm not going to say any more about it.
I'm kind of home, sick for a country to which I've just a few
trust that song that we sang a while ago, when the roll is called up yonder, that you'll be there in Beulah Land. Every one of us gathered here tonight are going somewhere. The question is, where? Where are we going? Appreciate all these songs that have been sung for us this evening. We'd like to turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms. If you didn't bring your Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you. I'd like for you to turn with me tonight to the 40th Psalm. Psalm chapter 40. I think Tom almost bought him a dulcimer yesterday. Some sweet music there, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, sir. We didn't have enough money to eat and buy a dollar for two.
We did have a wonderful time yesterday. I want to thank everyone again tonight for making that trip possible, and thank God for each one of you. Let's read the first four verses of Psalm 40. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. We want to look tonight at these four verses, and some in the 103rd Psalm. As we look on a message entitled, What God Hath Done. What God Hath Done. You know, God has done for each one of us here tonight who are saved. He has done for us what no one else could do. And that is save us as we believed on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us, the Bible says, and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Romans 5:8 says it like this. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. God has done some wonderful things for us. And they're found here in verses 1 through 4. And also, as I said, the 103rd Psalm. You know, I'm glad tonight that the Bible says it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Notice it said, it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so tonight, as we look into these verses and others of the book of Psalms, which is our January Bible study book, and we're still having messages from this book, even here in the month of May, I want us to take for our key verse tonight, the 103rd Psalm and verse 2. Let's turn over to that. Just keep your finger there in the 40th Psalm 2. Psalm 103 and verse 2. It says here, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That's verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And then verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Tonight we're going to look at some benefits of knowing the Lord. What God has done for us.
First of all, I believe that God hears our prayer of repentance. Back in Psalm 40, in that first verse says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined His ear unto me. The Bible does say that God heareth not sinners. But I believe certainly we could also say that God hears the prayer from a sinner's heart of repentance. I know that upon the authority of God's Word. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. There were two men went up to the temple to pray. Jesus told this parable in the New Testament. The one a Pharisee, full of himself, and a publican, who didn't have anything to brag about. But you know, those two men went up to pray at the same time. The Pharisee, I don't know how many words he said, but he said quite a few. And they were all about himself. A saying I've given you many times here says, a person all wrapped up in themselves makes a very small package. We need to forget about ourselves and live for others, live for the Lord. And so that old Pharisee, full of himself, he came to church that way and he left the same way, full, but full of himself. But the other fellow who went up to pray, the publican, people looked down on him. He was a Jew who collected taxes for the Roman government. You know what he said? 7 words is all he said. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what Jesus said about that man? He went down to his house justified rather than the other. This man went down. Two men went up to pray. And one man went down justified. The other, he was still in a sinful condition, full of himself. I believe tonight that the Lord, that God hears a sinner's prayer of forgiveness, of repentance. But I believe also that God hears a Christian's cry for help. There comes times in every one of our lives when we need help immediately, and God says yes many, many times. Sometimes He says, wait a while. But I know this upon the authority of this precious book here, that God answers Christians' prayers for help. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined His ear unto me and heard my cry. I thank God for this wonderful verse, Psalm 40 and verse 1. The Bible tells us this also in the Psalm, Psalm 34 and verse 15. It says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears. You know what? God has eyes. He has ears. God's eyes are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The Lord knows what we need tonight. So first of all, God hears our prayer of repentance, and He also hears the cry of Christians as they cry out to Him. I believe also in verse 2 of Psalm 40 that God is the one who brings us from sin to salvation. God is the one who does this. We studied tonight in church training about the lame man that Peter and John met there at the beautiful gate. And later on in chapter 4 of Acts, Peter says, this man stands before you whole because God did it. God is the one who lifted this lame man up who had never walked in his whole life. God did that. I like what Peter did. It says he lifted him. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. That's almost what verse 2 says of Psalm 40. He brought me up. Did you know what I'm glad? That every time the Lord brings anyone, he brings them up. He brings them up. He lifted Peter up on the waves there that day, or that night. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. The Lord did this. You can't lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. We used to have a fellow here in Perry County. I was acquainted with him. And that was one of their sayings, I believe, in the group that they had. Trying to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. My friend, the Lord is the one who lifts us up from sin to salvation. No one else could do that. My mom, as I mentioned this morning, is 80 years of age. She brought 11 children into this world. I'm the middle one. I've got 5 older than I am and 5 younger than I am. And I'm right in the middle. I don't know whether that's good or bad. But I appreciate my mom. But my mom and my dad, who raised us 11 children to fear the Lord, they could not save us. I don't remember a time in my growing up where my dad ever witnessed to me by his lips. But he witnessed to me, get this, he witnessed to me by his life. Many a Sunday I've walked behind my dad going to church. It wasn't anything for us to walk 6 and 7, 8 miles every Sunday afternoon, or some Sundays anyway, as we went to church. But my dad and mom couldn't lift me up from sin to salvation. I had to make that decision myself. And they were with me the day that I was saved. And that was a rejoicing time. The miracle of all miracles is where a soul is saved. I told Lucas Tuesday that my prayer for him was that if it be the Lord's will, that God would raise him up out of that bed and give him some more years. As I read to him there from the Gideon Bible there in that room, and he said he wanted to put his faith and trust in the Lord. The Lord, friends, is the one who lifts people up. He brought Lucas up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And the Lord is the only one who can do this. I believe tonight the Lord is in the business of lifting people. You want to have some exercise? Spiritual exercise? Go out and try to lift someone's burden. Go try to lift someone's burden this week. I like what the book of Galatians says. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. We can help each other in that way. But my friend, we can't save anyone like the Lord can save us. He's the one who does the saving. He lifted me up. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. If you're here tonight without the Lord, I would like for you to view the place where you are right now as a horrible pit, the pit of sin. But I'm glad we don't have to stay there. The Lord can lift us up. If you were in quicksand and you were sinking, and got up to right here, and someone came along and threw your rope. I wonder, would you say, I'm doing all right. I'm up to here, I know, but no thanks. That's the way a lost sinner is without the Lord. We need the Lord tonight. The Lord lifts people up. I love the song that says, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." He cares for us. He loves us. Look what it says there in the 103rd Psalm, verses 3 through 5. It says here that, "And forget not all his benefits," the last part of verse 2. There's two little dots after the word benefits. When I was teaching English at Napier High School, they call that a colon. I guess that's what it's still called now, 10 years removed. But you know what follows in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6? 3, 4, and 5 at least. There are no periods between to separate verses 3, 4, and 5. What follows in those three verses are the benefits that the Lord gives to us. There are five of those benefits. It says, "Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." The Lord does all that. Who else could forgive all of our iniquities? We need to forgive each other. But my friend, the Lord is the one who blots out our sins. He forgives us. I love another verse in Psalm 103. The 12th verse. It says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." There was a mathematician one time asked to find the distance from east to west. I think Mr. Sutton maybe teach math. I thought you taught math. I'm sorry. There was a mathematician one time asked to find this distance, and he sat down and tried to figure it out. He was a Christian, by the way. And finally, tears started coming down his face. He said, "It can't be figured." That's where our sins are. They're gone. Forgiven forever. No one but Jesus could forgive us, could heal us, could redeem us, could crown us, could satisfy us. No one but Him. The Lord inclined His ear. It all starts with the Lord hearing our prayer. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. The Lord did that. You know, tonight you're on one of two ways. I love what Jesus said in Matthew 7. He said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way." Just like the song the Gardeners have sung before, I believe, "On the Jericho Road, there's room for just two, no more and no less, just Jesus and you." The road's narrow. You know where it leads? To life. In fact, eternal life begins the very moment that you trust the Lord. Salvation, eternal life begins right then. As I said, it takes a lifetime to live a Christian life. But Jesus said also, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." Every person gathered here tonight is either on the way to life, you have life right now, eternal life, or you're on your way to destruction. which is hell, and eventually the lake of fire. We're not on that broad highway tonight. We're on the straight and narrow way that leads up to heaven if we're saved. Verse 8 of Psalm 103 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." I believe Brother Bill Nichols said again what grace and mercy is. Grace, that was during our week of revival with him recently. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. And mercy holds back from us what we do deserve. God's grace and mercy. Thank God for his mercy. That word mercy is in Psalm 103 quite a few times. His mercy. His mercy is on them from generation to generation that fear him. Verse 17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children." Who do you fear? Who do you fear? Ecclesiastes 12:13, one of the verses in Sunday school today said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." The Lord tonight has lifted us up. And also, not only has he heard our prayer and lifted us up, but he has also put us on a firm foundation. The Lord has done that. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Paul said in Ephesians that you be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When the Lord saves us, and what he does, he places us on a firm foundation. The Daily Bread said it like this one time, as a thought for the day, "We may tremble on the rock, but the rock will never tremble under us." We have a firm foundation. He set our feet upon a rock. We're no longer to be wishy-washy, but steadfast, unmovable, always abounding the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There were some climbers climbing one of the mountains in the Swiss Alps. And the first man in line lost his foothold and slipped over the ledge. The next two men were dragged after him. And the climbers up above them stood in fear, in shock. When the rope ran its length, it snapped, just like a thread. And those men plunged 4,000 feet below. For half an hour, those men left up on the mountain, didn't know what to do. Finally, they continued the descent, and hours later, they arrived in Zermatt, Switzerland. They told their sad story, and they checked the rope that had been around them, as well as those men who fell. It was not the rope that they should have had. The Alpine Club rope that they should have had a red strand running all the way through it. And the rope that had broken, had snapped, did not have that red strand. And these men plunged to their death. I'd like to think of that red strand as Jesus all the way through the Bible, all the New Testament. You know how those spies got out of Jericho? Scarlet rope was hung out the window. We better be trusting the blood of Jesus, God's Son, who cleanses us from all sin. Last tonight, I believe God gives us something to sing about. We heard some beautiful music yesterday, both instrumental and singing. Look what the third verse of Psalm 40 says. It says, He hath put a new song in my mouth. We have something to sing about. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. First part of verse 4 says, Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, that maketh the Lord his trust. I thank God tonight for the new song that God gives us when we're saved. Colossians 3:16 says it like this, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He's put a new song in my mouth. That's what happened to two missionaries in Acts 16. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God. And there was an earthquake. I wonder how long since anyone heard us sing. We need to sing. There were some people went to a leper colony one day, and they asked the lepers, What do you want to sing? You know what they requested? Some of them in that leper colony were just hours away from death. And many of them were Christians. They said this, We want to sing today, Sing and I go along last road. Praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Sing and I go along last road. For Jesus has lifted my load. Are you still carrying your sins? You've got a load. You've got a heavy load that you don't need to carry any longer. You can come to Jesus tonight and let Him take care of that. Meet Him at the foot of the cross because He loves you. He cares about you. As Brother Tom comes to lead us in our invitation hymn, 217. What has God done for you? Has He heard your cry? Has He lifted you out of sin, out of the miry clay? Has He set your feet on a rock?